You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Lance Berkman is with us in studio.
That guy got confused. He called me Lance Zierlein.
I know.
The little voiceover.
How about catch up, dude? You ain't Lance Zierlein. Okay. Right? I haven't heard you clear your throat once into the microphone.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Now that you say that, though, I feel like I need to.
Well, if you're going to be Lance, today, okay. Did you see the fight last night?
No.
You what didn't fight? See the Reds and Pirates?
Uh-uh.
Oh, my goodness. You're going to see it.
Okay, perfect.
There's a guy named Amir Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know Amir?
Nope.
Big dude for the Reds, relief pitcher. He came in the game, gave up a homer. When David Bell came out to get him, they're standing on the mound, and he's talking into his glove, and you could say he was saying ugly words.
Yeah.
He was saying some ugly words and looking right at the Pirates bench. And then he just went attack mode at the Pirates bench.
Wow, that's unusual.
Yeah. He was like, you're not a Game of Thrones guy, are you?
No.
Okay. Jon Snow stood there with his sword, and the entire army was coming after him. Mm-hmm. And that's what it seemed like. And so Amir Garrett went by himself. Have you ever seen that before? A guy go and take on the entire team?
Now, I've heard stories of that. There used to be a Pete Incaviglia story.
Really?
When he was at Oklahoma State, he challenged the whole Texas team to a fight in their dugout, and nobody took him up on it. Wisely, I might add.
Right.
But, I haven't seen it, no.
So you would love Incaviglia on this show, by the way, just as an aside. He was in with us. We went and did a Skeeters game over there. He came up, and we were talking about guys wearing their hats just a little off. Not like lefties, because they're a little off. You know, lefties right. have their, full-blown, I'm wearing the hat, different.
Look like a clown.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, Dell wears his like that a lot.
Mine's backwards. It's not the same.
Yeah, it's not the same.
What are you talking about? He's wearing a baseball cap. He's disrespecting
First of all,
the game.
But he's not playing baseball.
Yeah.
But he's disrespecting
it's
the game.
It's backwards, and I'm not playing baseball.
Correct. He's not disrespecting. What game? He's not playing.
Radio?
Yeah, okay.
You can't even see him, for Pete's sake.
Who am I disrespecting?
You? We can see you on the right there. You see that little corner? That's Dell right there.
Yeah, but you can't see my head.
I'm staring right at him. I don't feel disrespected.
You don't
in
feel
any
like.
Way.
He plays
baseball.
That's right.
I do.
Well, then maybe y'all need to sit down and talk it
or
out.
Or maybe I need to charge him.
Like yeah. Okay.
I'd like
to happen.
See that. Maybe you should charge the booth.
I'm going to charge the booth.
But it looks like he's well ensconced in there behind some glass.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, he's protected. That's why he can disrespect the game.
Now, well, look.
Because he knows I won't charge him.
I just want to, my question to you is, what is the definition of uniform?
Uniform means everybody wears the same.
Right.
Uniform means everyone's the same.
Yeah, it looks the same.
Everything's right. The same. So let's wear our caps right, because Pete Incaviglia will have none of it.
Right. I'm with Pete. I mean, I'm 100%. Yeah. I think it just looks stupid. Like, why would you do that?
So Kenley Jansen, you're
it's
like
stupid.
Hey, dude, put your cap on.
Right.
Right?
I mean, that just drives me crazy. It's like, why, you know. Just be part of the team. I mean, just wear your hat the right way.
Did your kids ever wear their hat a little? And you?
Heavens no.
No, because you told them.
Well, it's just like, you know, look, I mean, we're so afraid of
heavens no.
infringing on anybody's right to express their individuality.
Right.
But we're playing a team game. Like, the time for expressing individuality is not on
right.
the field with your teammates. Just wear your hat like everybody else.
Does the level of bend in the bill mean? Can that be governed?
Yeah. I mean, I think anything that you're doing to like purposely draw attention to yourself, like, hey, look at me, you know, I'm different, I'm special,
right.
you know, everybody else does it this way, but I, you know, I'm expressing my right to do it however I want to do it. It just, to me, it's counter to the team concept.
Right.
I mean, the team concept is, hey, we're all in this together. Nobody's standing out. You know, we have a common goal here, and we're working towards it.
That's right. That's baseball.
When you
except there is really no more individual sport than baseball.
True. It really is more. It's more of an individual sport. It's what I say. It's an individual sport played in a team setting.
Yeah.
But the team component still matters. Like the team, how you interact with your teammates and how you trust them, and the feeling that you have for the guy standing next to you or the guy in the lineup with you. I mean, those things are important.
Right. Absolutely. So now, and we're going to get to you guys, man. We're almost through a segment already. But here's where the whole thing started between the Pirates and the Reds.
Oh, okay. We get back to that.
So back months ago, Dietrich for the Reds hit a home run and Cadillac'd. He watched it. He enjoyed his home run.
Yeah.
Took a while to get around the bases. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about this earlier. You know, the Hispanic players tend to do that or on the mound. Remember Lima? I mean, when he struck you out and he did all his antics and whatnot. But Dietrich's not an Hispanic player.
He's German.
Yes, apparently.
Yeah.
But as Dell pointed out, a lot of Germans fled to Argentina.
Ah.
Okay, so he could have been.
Gotcha.
He could have been a Hispanic, but he's not. So, so now Kela comes in, a reliever, and throws at Dietrich's head.
Mm-hmm.
Is this just in any way, shape, or form for a guy Cadillac in a home run to get thrown at his head?
No. Anything, like, you can't throw at a guy's head. I mean, there's, you know, people kind of laugh at or whatever the unwritten rules of the game.
They're stupid.
But some of them are, I mean, like, if you're going to try to enact some retribution, which I totally agree with, if a guy pimps a homer and you don't like it, then drill him. I mean, but it's got to be done in a certain way. You know, preferably, you know, aim at the waist, and nothing can be above the shoulders for sure.
Right.
I mean, you can't throw at a guy's head. That's you know, that could get extremely serious. But you're not gonna really hurt somebody if you hit them in the leg or if you hit them in the butt. You know, that's where it's gonna hurt, but it's not gonna permanently injure them. The point is not to permanently injure somebody. The point is to send a message like, hey, you know, we don't appreciate the display that you put on after you hit a home.
Did Dietrich hurt their feelings?
I don't know if he hurt their feelings, but it's about decorum and it's about respect for the opposition. And a lot of these things that the league is now trying to legislate, for 120 years, the players legislated themselves and did a fine job, in my opinion. You know, there was a high level of respect, competitive respect around the league, and guys knew, like, if you did certain things, then you were gonna get punished.
But even back in the day, like Bob Gibson, if you hit a homer off of him, you could get dotted the next time. Or the guy after you could get dotted.
That's right.
Which is, wait a minute, just because he beat you, he could dot you?
Yeah, I don't, you know, I'm not, I don't like that. Like, I don't think that is a good policy, and that would have, you know, that'd be irritating, especially in the National League where a guy never has to hit, you know.
Right.
It's one thing.
No, the National League, Gibson had to hit.
Yeah, that's right.
They all hit, but
Yeah. If the guy's got, if now I will say, if he has to hit, then, and he does that, then
now you're taking his life in your own hands.
Exactly.
Right.
So there was some what do you call it? You know, there was some
retribution.
Yeah, not retribution, but there was a incentive for him to.
Right.
You know, stay within the bounds of acceptability with that.
But guys knew, and it was funny with Gibson, they were like, oh, crap, you just, I just homered off him. Guess what? I'm going to catch it.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that's just part of it, I guess.
I guess. Well, and guess what? Bob Gibson owned the plate.
Right.
You right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You ain't crowding the plate on Bob Gibson.
No. And you know, it was like he had that reputation, but it didn't, like, to my knowledge, he never permanently injured anybody. He never, you know, ended someone's career. He never, and I don't, you know, how many guys did he actually hit? I mean, it was more of a competitive advantage for him to have people believe that about him. And hey, some would say if you can gain an advantage by making the opposition
fearful,
then that, well done.
Was there ever a guy you got into the box, you were
never afraid of getting hit, ever. I mean, because, and I always tell, you know, I talk to a lot of guys that have young sons, and like, oh, well, they're scared of the ball. And I always tell them, I said, you know, you have a ball player on your hands when your kid is more scared of making an out than he is of getting hit. And that's how I played my whole career, more scared of making an out than getting hit. Like, if I got hit, I mean, yeah, physically it's painful, but at least I didn't make an out. Like, I go down to first base and, you know, helping my team. So.
See, that's why I never made it out of Little League. I was scared. Yeah. Except at football, never a fear. Baseball, I couldn't stand in a box. I didn't like it. I didn't want that 40-mile-an-hour fastball coming at me.
Well, and I think it's one of those things that's like you're so focused on what you're trying to do that you don't really think about it. Like if you, you know, I'm not some sort of superhero. If I was up there against Chapman and I knew he was trying to hit me, I wouldn't like it. I mean, I would definitely be, you know, towards the back corner of the box and looking to get out of the way. But I think when you, you know, especially at the major league level, one, you trust those guys. They got great command, so you're not as concerned about it.
Did you ever get thrown at, though?
Oh, yeah.
Why? On purpose? But you knew Cadillac?
No, but I was the three-hole hitter or four-hole hitter on the – so a lot of times if somebody hit the other team's three- or four-hole hit, I'm getting hit.
Like, oh, it's yeah. Just,
you know, because that's who you're – sending a message through is the guys that
you're going to hit our lineup. Cleanup guy. We're going to hit yours.
Nobody's going to hit the eight hole, you know.
And, right. And so, Adam Everett.
Yeah.
Who's hitting Everett?
Nobody. Not on purpose anyway. But I got hit a lot. I mean, on purpose.
Yeah.
But I knew it was on purpose for various reasons. I mean, Roy had a little bit of a reputation as a headhunter.
Yeah.
Consequently, even when he hit somebody that was unintentional, well, guess who's getting hit? Me.
Like, thanks, Roy. You're standing out there and going, "Oh, guess what? Nice, Roy. Thanks."
And that's where you're like, he's got a hit. He's, you know, like hit him. But then their argument is, well, we don't want to put the pitcher on base. Like he's an out.
Yeah.
So why would we hit him?
So we're gonna hit.
We're gonna hit. Yeah. We're gonna hit a guy that could, you know, has a decent chance to get on base anyway.
All right. It's 8:16. ESPN 97.5. I promise we'll get you guys on the other side. Garrett, call back in. We'll get your guys' calls in. I promise. Next segment. Right now, though, I got to talk about Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble and Granite. And this is a guy, if you need any big job done at your home or your business, and let's think about your business right now, because you've got a terrible countertop and vanity in the bathroom, and you know your place just looks all shungat, right? And you need Jeff Aronoff to make it look better. He will do it at 20% off because he is an ESPN fan, ESPN 97.5. If you're a listener, you're an ESPN 97.5 listener, you, my friends, are going to benefit from Jeff Aronoff coming to your place, giving you a free estimate, and fixing it. And by the way, you don't need a designer. You don't need an architect. You don't need someone to do all of that, because that's what Jeff Aronoff is going to do. Jeff Aronoff is going to come to your place, and he will help you. He did it with us at our home. He can do it at your business. He can do it if you're building hotels. He can help you make it look as good as possible, whatever it is you're building. Please, all you got to do is call Jeff Aronoff. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. If it's granite, tile, marble, whatever it is, Jeff Aronoff is there for you at 713-880-2822.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, he threw it up at his head. You know, it didn't surprise us, because it's kind of been going on all year. So I say it didn't surprise us, but it's I can't tell you how disappointing it is that it's still going on and nothing's been done about it. But anytime we've talked about it enough, it's a shame that this is allowed, you know, and that they're able to get away with it. You know, they celebrate it, they support it, clearly allow it, or I don't know if they teach it, but they allow it. It's dangerous. I mean, you can go on and on about so many things wrong about it. And, you know, at some point it's bigger than the game of baseball.
That's David Bell, Reds manager. Here's the deal. Is Kella's going to get more than Dietrich? Well, he's going to get more than anybody, shouldn't he? Because he's the guy who threw at the head. So if you get a bigger suspension, lose more money, is that going to curtail throwing at guys' heads?
I mean, maybe. Depends on the guy. But really and truly, to me, it starts with Dietrich or whatever his name is. I mean, don't pimp homers. If you don't want to get hit, then don't
pimp
homers.
Is that a suspendable offense to pimp a homer?
If it precipitates that kind of a brawl, maybe. I don't know.
Well, the homer was hit in a previous
game. Yeah.
But so it doesn't matter. Like, you know, like baseball players are like elephants. You don't forget nothing.
Oh,
I mean, if a guy does that, you know, in the first game of the season and you're in game 161, you're like, I do not like that
what
guy.
The killer is if he does that in the spring.
Well, why would you ever do it? Just don't do it. I mean, it's just like, don't do it. Can you not... Can you not contain yourself for
it's
3 hours
Lance,
a day?
Okay, I'm the show here, okay?
I mean, I guess. Whatever. Let's get to some color. This guy's been holding for a long time.
I admired my home run, okay? Okay, because I'm not getting enough praise or money.
It's just ridiculous.
I'm not sure why a man just can't celebrate his accomplishments.
Yeah.
But why?
Why are you going to take that away from him?
My question is, why do you have to celebrate him? Like, that's what they pay you to do.
Because
is that really an accomplishment?
They don't listen if you mumble, Lance. If I'm just quiet about what I do, no one's listening to me. I got to hit home runs and tell people about it. Although, you know, me hitting a ball 400-plus feet isn't enough of a show that I'm good
right.
at something.
That's right, Lance.
I need to walk around the base.
You don't know about today's athlete.
Gotcha. Okay. You know, I'm just behind the times, I guess. It's just like, hey, they're paying me a lot of money to hit homers and to drive guys in, and then when I do it, I'm doing my job. End of discussion. I mean, I don't, but I guess everything now, I mean, people, it's got to be like if somebody draws a walk, you know, they're strutting down to first base like a rooster, you know? You just got walked, dude. I mean, they just gave you first base. It's just, anyway, go ahead.
Which is another thing I want to talk to you about in a little bit, but Tyler wants to talk to you here. He's got a question for you. What do you say, Tyler?
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
Good, man. Thanks for waiting. We apologize. Lance apologizes.
Fastest hold times in radio.
That's right.
John Odell.
That's right. Yeah. Shortest wait times.
And I wanted to call and talk. Lance.
Yes.
Back in the day, you were my very favorite baseball player. I was about 8 years old, and some grown man was trying to take my baseball that you were tossing to me in the outfield, and you walked over and handed it to me.
Yeah.
And you've been like my favorite baseball player ever, man. And I just wanted to say I appreciate all those Stros memories. Even when you had your little farewell tour, I definitely followed you on the Cards and the Yanks.
Oh, awesome. Well, thank you.
But, yeah, man, I had a quick question for you.
Sure.
So with now, you know, we're basically, you know, with all of our prospects, we've got a couple pieces, these guys that are supposed to be, you know, big things. Is there any one prospect that stands out when you were with the organization that was similar to that, or somebody that they hyped up and never actually panned out, or somebody that, you know, everybody on the major league level knew was going to come up, just didn't make it up there or anything like that?
Yeah. You know, as you're asking the question, I'm sitting here thinking about it, trying to remember. There were the one guy that I can remember where just got tons of hype that came up and, you know, was decent but never great was Tim Redding. He was a guy that, you know, in the minor leagues, he was dominating, pitcher, right-handed pitcher, dominating, threw hard. You know, everybody was like, this guy's the next Roy Oswalt. I mean, that was kind of the deal on him. And
he was small.
Yeah, he was shorter right-hander but threw hard.
Slight, right.
And came up and just kind of, you know, he was okay.
Yeah,
for a little bit, but never anything great. So he was the one guy I can think of.
So, okay, and that same note, and we appreciate it, Tyler. You, first of all, older people, don't take balls away from kids, okay? Don't do that ever. If a player throws a ball near the kid, or even if he throws it to you, give it to a kid. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, if he throws it to the adult, they can keep it. But
no,
don't
give
it
to a kid. What are you going to do with the baseball?
I don't know.
What do you, honestly, you're an adult. What are you going to do with a baseball?
But it's
give it to a kid.
If a kid doesn't get one, it's good training because it's like, you know,
hey,
life is disappointing.
No, like, it should be handed to you.
No, right? Yeah, like just because you're a kid, you should get a baseball?
Yes, well, you deserve it.
I think it depends on where the kid grows up. You got to set a standard. If the kid grows up in Bel Air, he's going to be used to being handed things. So hand him the baseball.
There you go.
If the kid's from a different area of the city, kid, look, this is a lie. If I hand you this baseball, you know your life's going to be more difficult than this. I'm not starting
like
the
that.
Trend.
Yeah.
It just depends on where you grow up.
I think that's a great policy.
No.
But
okay.
Then you have to.
So we got a hand. Okay, we're not handing everything to Bel Air kids.
Because, well.
Okay, that's not life.
We're giving kids
kinda
what they're
is,
used
not
to.
Really. Not really. And Memorial, too, by the way.
Oh,
okay.
No doubt about
that. Yeah, Memorial, by the way. Okay, have you been... Okay, so Jeff Luhnow, today's trade deadline.
Okay.
If Jeff Luhnow, and he... This was in 17. He did nothing at the trade deadline. If he... And it was an awfully disappointing time. They went into a tailspin in August. Then they got Verlander, and they went on to win the World Series at the end of August. You don't have that luxury this year because there's no more waiver wire trades. So today's the deadline to make a trade. If they don't, have you been in a clubhouse before, a team that you thought could win, and the general manager didn't do anything? What's it like in that clubhouse?
you know, there might be just a little bit of disappointment that there was not a move made. But as a player, you just like, okay, well, I mean, this is who we're going with, and let's go. I mean, it's not, you don't spend a ton of time dwelling on that. But I do believe that whenever a trade is made, it definitely, even if it's a, you know, just kind of like an ancillary piece where maybe you get a bullpen guy or something like that, or maybe you get a veteran bat for the bench.
Mm-hmm.
There is certainly excitement that's generated even in the clubhouse from those types of transactions. And it does send a message, I think, that, hey, we're doing everything we can do to try to help you guys win. Now, the other thing too is there are certain, I think Jeff has earned, some whatever he decides to do, we need to just say, you know what, that's probably the
right
decision.
That's not the way I go about it.
Right. I know, because you're on radio and right. You have to try to generate controversy.
That's
but
not
for
it.
Me,
that's not
I
it.
Think if Luhnow says, hey, we're good, then I'm believing him. Like, I think he's good.
No, I don't. So, okay. I don't. Because you can't rest on your laurels. You won once. That's great. Let's go. We're going
to
win again.
But sometimes you don't necessarily have to make it. I mean, I think the Astros, as they're currently configured, are good enough to win the World Series.
You do?
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think? Well, why do you think they're not?
Well, here's the thing. The more and more I'm believing in Wade Miley.
Yeah.
I mean, he has pitched really well.
They got three solid starters, two of which are dominant, you know.
Yeah.
And then they have the best lineup in the game, probably, when they're healthy.
Them and the Yankees, yeah. And the well, here's the thing, though. The Dodgers are throwing a lot of really good arms at you.
Yeah. No, I mean, okay. But it's hard to win the World Series. It's the, you know.
Yeah, the Dodgers know that, yeah.
And you're not going to be able to say, well, we're, you know, no matter what move you make, you're not going to be able to say, well, we're definitely better than the Yankees and Dodgers now. I mean, there's not a move out there that exists like that.
Oh, really? I think if you picked up Bumgarner, you would be the clear-cut favorite, even over the Yankees.
But even if you did that, you wouldn't necessarily guarantee yourself a World Series victory. And so,
no.
Why?
But
you
give yourself a better chance.
But if you had to mortgage your future in order to be able to pull that trade off.
We're winning today, Lance. Okay, no, we want to win today.
That's fine. But I'd rather have a team that puts themselves in a position to win every year.
Well, okay, yeah, you're not going to win the World Series every year,
no.
but you can still, you don't have to mortgage your future.
It's not like if you didn't have both Verlander and Cole on this team, then I would be more I'd tend to agree with you more. Like, hey, we need one more dominant guy, but we got two dominant guys. We got another guy that's pretty stinking good. And then after that, there's a cast of guys that are more than adequate major league pitchers, and then you have the best lineup in the game, and you just go play and see what happens.
Yeah, that's fine and good. I want to pick up a big arm. Okay.
Okay. Well,
all right.
I'm gonna be
disappointed if they don't. And oh, by the way, in 2017 they were disappointed. Keuchel said, you know what, it was awfully disappointing
because they were one guy away, and they all knew it, and they got that guy, and then they won it. So, but this team's not one guy.
Well, I will say this. Don't you fear this bullpen right now?
I mean, yeah, bullpen is kind of a crapshoot anyway, and no disrespect to bullpen guys, but that's why they're in the bullpen, because they're, you know,
not as good as the starters.
Yeah, just they're not quite as reliable or whatever. And so you're just,
well, how about they don't have the stamina of the
Well, that's kind of been the myth for there's no doubt about it. If guys could start, they would start. Like, nobody goes into their career thinking, you know what, I want to be a bullpen guy.
I want to be a middle relief guy.
No, those guys are the guys that just for whatever reason, really more than the stamina, it's the arsenal. Like a lot of bullpen guys are two pitch pitchers.
Yeah.
Like they've got a wipeout breaking ball and a good fastball.
That's not enough.
It's not enough to be a starter. You got to have a third pitch. So a lot of those guys just never develop the third pitch.
So you believe as is. This team can win the World Series.
100%. No doubt about it. I mean, that's not even debatable. Like, they absolutely can win the World Series. And I think they would be, if, you know, I'm not saying they'd be the favorite because there's other good teams out there, but I would say that they have as good a chance as any team. If the Yankees, Dodgers, doesn't matter. They have as good a chance as those teams.
Well, and the way the Yankees have been pitching lately, it's been disastrous. They have been horrible.
And so much of that is if you're playing well at the right time. I mean, it's whoever kind of gels and comes together. And the one advantage the Astros will have is that they've got a group that's been there, done that. And they've, you know, the Dodgers haven't won it. The Yankees haven't won it in recent. So there's always a little shred of doubt in those guys' mind. Like, can we really do this? The Astros know they can do it. Yeah. And that's a big mental component to this thing.
Yeah. 713-780-3776. Taking a break. Catching up. 833 ESPN 97.5 in studio with Lance Berkman. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Tell Lance the Rockets are always positioned to win. How's that working out for them? But the Astros are positioned to win, and they have won.
Right. And, but, I mean, in professional sports, the other guys are pretty good, too. So, I mean, you know, really, your reasonable expectation can only be, hey, we're in the mix, and if the right set of circumstances happens, if we compete well, if we're playing well at the right time, then we got a chance to win a championship. And I think, as a fan, I mean, I understand the fan mentality, like win at all costs, and if you're not winning championships, then you're not doing a very good job. But it's just it's hard. I mean, it's hard to win a world championship in any sport, and if you're consistently knocking on the door, at some point, it's going to happen for you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, is it going to happen for the Dodgers, you think?
I don't know about this year, but...
Right, but they're always knocking on the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they got a good chance.
They got a good... Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's all you can ask for.
Well, how could you ask for anything more than that?
Well, win.
Right.
That's all we want to do. That's
it. Well, you are winning a significant amount to put yourself in that position.
Are we at a point here where if they don't win the World Series, it's a disappointing season?
With the Astros?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's always I think any time you have a team that is capable of winning the World Series and you don't win it, there is going to be a measure of disappointment. But you also have to, you have to frame that with some realism as well. So, yeah, I mean, it would be disappointing, but at the same time, it's not like, oh, well, they're a terrible organization because they didn't win the World Series.
Yeah. No, it's not a terrible organization, but I think, I mean, now, listen, if you don't, but I don't think that's any different than ever. I mean, if your team doesn't win at all, that's a disappointment.
Well, again, if you have the team that can do it, like, nobody's looking at, say, I don't know who's a bad team in baseball.
The Reds.
The Reds. Nobody's in Cincinnati's going, it's going to be disappointing if we don't win a World Series.
No. But the Astros are in a different place, obviously.
Right.
Berkman dropping heavens no and everything seems right in the world. That's right. You haven't said shenanigans once, though.
I know. So, I'm trying to, sometimes.
Are you cutting back?
I'm trying to cut back a little bit.
On your shenanigans?
Well, you can only run it. If you run it out there all the time, it sort of loses its effect.
Right. But, they put a picture of Zeke up there, one of the Astros all time. That's terrible. You remember Zeke?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was a guy.
Well, he threw 97 from the left side.
Yeah. No, he was a righty.
No, he wasn't. Left-hander. Oh.
Oh, he was a righty.
Who am I thinking of?
I don't know. Who were you thinking of?
I don't know.
Do you remember? You remember his face?
Yes.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
No, well.
What are you doing?
That was, never mind. Never mind. You I'm not brought, doing anything.
You brought it up. What do you mean you're not doing anything?
I just remember a Bagwell quote once about it. That's all.
What did Bagwell say?
Nothing.
You
I'm
can't
not
besmirch
it.
Bagwell.
I'm not saying
quote.
Anything. I put the all-time team out there, the all-time Astros team, and you were in left field.
Okay, great.
Bish was behind the plate, Altuve at second, Bags at first, Correa at short. Would you put Berkman or Caminiti at third?
You mean Bregman?
What did I say? Yeah, Bregman. Bregman or...
I definitely wouldn't put myself at third.
No, not you at third.
Right. That'd be tough to play left-handed.
Bregman or Caminiti?
I mean...
For their contributions to the Astros.
I'd probably have to go with Bregman.
That's what I did.
He was obviously a very good player, but he had his best years in San Diego. So
yeah. He was an MVP in San Diego.
Right.
And then I had Jimmy Winn in center and Springer in right. But Cruz isn't on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's just that's a tough when you get into the outfield.
Cedeño.
There's a lot of good players out there. So
yeah, I don't have Moises Alou on the team either.
Yeah, that's. I mean, or Jeff Kent.
Well, but only their contributions as an Astro.
That's right. Yeah, you said that. Yeah. I mean, there's what about you know, there's a lot of guys that that you could stick out there. Terry Poole, pretty good player.
Yeah. Yeah.
Center fielder.
Luis Gonzalez? No.
Nah.
No, not here. Not here. Yeah, not he was here. Punching Judy right, here. Yeah. Then he turned into a 50 home run guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Yasiel Puig,
no one was talking about him.
Nobody said that.
But no, yeah. I know. I'm just saying.
So in your mind, how do you get from, you know,
I don't know. Ask Gonzalez Brady Anderson to, how you get there. What? I have no idea.
What?
I have
50 home run guys.
I got it.
50 home run guys.
50. Yes.
Yasiel's never hit 50 home runs.
Now I'm picking up what you're putting down.
I didn't see that until you mentioned 50 home runs. Now I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
I don't know how you get.
John's not a great communicator. Sometimes you have to.
No, you have to parse through things.
That's exactly.
Well, you just gotta be. You gotta be quick. That's all.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You gotta be quick. All right. So I'll have to slow it down for you too.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Please, that's what goes on this show.
Cammy had the best third baseman arm.
No doubt.
Oh my God, he had a rifle, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think any question about that. 713-780-3776. Lance Berkman is with us in studio.
Got a few lines open.
Yeah, we do.
Just a few. Yeah. They're burning up the phone lines. Waiting to
I think people just like to hear you talk.
Oh, gotcha.
They don't, we actually don't get much interaction on the show.
Oh, okay.
Rarely
probably because nobody can hear the signal. Broadcast. I mean, the signal. I didn't pick it up until I was about a mile
Even
from
Lance
the building.
Berkman's taking. Actually, it's worse for me when I get close to the building.
Yeah, actually, it's really, really bad
what
right
side were
here.
Where you coming from?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, there must be a few spots in the whole city where you can get it clear.
That's why we tell people to get the app.
Oh, and man. Somehow, some way, this show rates. I don't
it's
know
crazy.
How.
Not just rates. Rates number one.
Number one. Yeah. Number one. I don't know how, but it does. Maybe because Lance Berkman is here. 844 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776. I got to talk about Oops steam cleaning. And I don't. You know what? Here's the deal about Oops. Is obviously if you have a wine stain or some kind of a dog urinating on your carpets, that's really gross. And you need to have your carpets cleaned. There's no question about that. But how about if you've got little kids, especially kids that are crawling around on the floor? You really need to clean your carpets because they're, you know, that's gross. And the kids are tracking all kinds of germs and fungi and all kinds of stuff that you have, spores and all kinds of stuff, bacteria that you have in your carpets. And Oops will come with a 250 degree steam and they will take out all of that, the fungi and the germs and the mold spores, everything, bacteria, everything will be sanitized perfectly, and you can rest assured that those germs are not being transferred to that little kid. Even if you don't have little kids, your carpets are gross if you don't clean them. When was the last time? Think about it. When was the last time you cleaned your carpets or your drapes or your upholstery or your bathroom and kitchen tile? They do it all. Air ducts, drapery, commercial cleaning. If you have any water problems, water remediation, dryer vent. When was the last time you cleaned out your dryer vent? Because those can cause fires. They do it all at Oops. OopsSteam.com. OopsSteam.com. 281-822-0561. Give them a call. They'll come to your home, and they'll clean this stuff up in a matter of minutes. They'll get this job done. OopsSteam.com.
Loaded, ready to rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is a Zadok Jewelers ESPN 97.
Listen here, baby. You know what I need. Want you to see everything. Want you to see all of the lights.
Something wrong. I hold my head. MJ gone. I'm dead. I slap my girl.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Uh, 849 ESPN 97.5. Lance Berkman is in studio, and he called for some phone calls. He wants to talk to the people. You know, that's what you're about. You're just about the people.
That's right.
That's what
always I have been.
Yeah. I mean, that's.
There are quotes on this very show that suggest otherwise.
Well, that's true. Yeah. I've been caught in a lie.
Maybe you've changed, maybe.
Huh?
Oh, you lied.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Let's get. Who's up first there, Dell? It looks like David would be first up for Lance Berkman here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, David?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, bud.
Hello. So, Lance, you know, I have a couple of things, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Obviously, you know, being that you have a Hall of Fame career, you can answer a few of these. I mean, in my opinion, you're a Hall of Famer. So
I appreciate that.
You know, that's definitely true. But so my son, he plays. He's going to be a senior this year. And, you know, how did you know, like, it was your time? You just kind of knew you were going to make it, you know, because he does want to play professional. He's good. Okay, he is good. I make no bones about it, but I don't know that he's at that level of good just yet to be, you know. And of course, he's only 17, so he works his ass off. You know, he does his deal. But how did you know? Like, hey, man, I really have a shot here. Is one question.
I think the answer to that is I really never felt like I had a shot until maybe I got to maybe double A, where you feel like, okay. You know,
really? Not even at Rice when you're hitting 50 homers?
Because it's all, you know, like there are plenty of examples of guys that were great college players that never made it to the major leagues. I think you I think it's healthy to never feel like, I'll say this. I mean, my whole career, there was never a time when I felt like, oh yeah, I've made it. Like I'm the dude, you know, like you just, because it's the game's too hard. Like you got to keep grinding. You got to just put your nose down. That's why, you know, people talk about, I've heard Tom Brady several times, or they want to say, well, you're the greatest. And he's like, don't even say that. I don't want to hear those words.
Yeah.
Because he, in his mind, he's still the whatever, six round draft.
I'm still working hard. Yeah.
And that's the mentality. So if you want to have a chance to make it, the best way to go about it is to feel like I've never made it, and just to keep working and to try to, you know, the key for guys in baseball, especially, is just you get a little bit better. Like the game will kind of tell you where your ceiling is. So, you know, you're a good player in high school, you go to college, we got to get a little bit better to be that same level of player in college. And if you can do that, great. And then you move on to A ball or double A or whatever it is. And then you start just get a little bit better and rise to the level of the competition. And then there's a lot of guys that top out in minor league ball or college or whatever it is. And that's no disgrace. It's just kind of where their ability ceiling was.
Right.
But you can't ever – I never felt like, oh, man, I've got a real chance to play in the big – I just remember being like, man, I'd love to play in college. And then I got to college, my thinking was, I just want to be able to play. Like, I want to be in the starting lineup. And then I did that, and I was like, okay, well, I want to try to be a good college player. And then, you know, so you just – where I don't remember ever looking ahead and saying, oh, I can play at that level. You just – it's nose to the grindstone, keep your head down and work and just try to be as good a player as you can be at that time and then let it work itself out.
And that's kind of his deal. You know, we've worked for so long, I mean, since he was six. And, you know, he's earned some accomplishments. He was the first unanimous first-team All-District this year, and he works hard, and he never really feels satisfied. So concerning approach, though, because – his approach at the plate, he just goes out and tries to hack. I mean, he struck out three times in 85 plate appearances over the summer, which is a pretty decent number. But concerning with it, whether he's the leadoff or even with two outs, do you have a certain approach with either one of those that you feel like, or if you're just that guy that can see the ball so well, you just go up there ready to hit and say, I'm going to hit the first one I see?
Well, a lot of I'll give you a quick little deal. A lot of it has to do with count. So there's the ABCs of hitting. The A is attack, so an attack count would be like 1-0, 2-0, 2-1. Like when you're up and you're looking for a ball to drive, like I'm trying to attack the baseball. The second, the B is back through the middle. So if you get into an even count or a situation where you feel like the pitcher's not, you know, you're not feeling great or whatever, my focus is now back through the middle. I'm not really trying to drive the ball. I'm just looking for something that I can hit a nice line drive with. And then the C is contact. So you get down to two strikes, I'm just fighting for contact. So depending on the count, and there are obviously other factors, who you're facing, game situation, those types of things, you know, you're either attacking, you're back through the middle, or you're looking for contact. That's kind of the ABCs of approach.
Today's player doesn't – I don't think they do it like that. I think it's attack all the time because the shift – I think that's why Altuve is so good, is because he can – they have to play him straight away. He can hit it to all fields, and he does. He's hitting it up the middle right now, and just he went from 238 to 300 in a month. But the shift, how is it that a guy can't he has absolutely no back control to go the other way.
Because they don't work on it. Like, I got a chance to go to got down to Florida where they have what they call the prospect development pipeline, and they invite the top 80 high school juniors in the country to try to make the Olympic team or the, you know, the junior national team, whatever you want to call it, Team mm-hmm. USA. And it's amazing. Like, these are the best high school players in the country. And I'd put a ball on a tee and say, hit this ball at the middle, you know, try to do it 8 out of 10. And it was amazing how many guys couldn't do it. I mean, they're spraying balls
on a tee.
On the tee. And so you have to work hard to groom what I call a middle approach or a middle bat path. And that's just done in practice. So guys, the reason that guys have a hard time is because they don't work on that aspect of, you know, barrel control is a real thing. Like, we used to, when I was a kid, we played a lot of pepper, which is a mm-hmm. game where you're trying to hit the ball to certain, you know, you got to hit it to this guy, next guy down the line. And you start to learn how to kind of manipulate the barrel with your hands. And you don't see that as much anymore. Now it's, you know, let's set the barrel and then take a huge upswing and try to hit homers. I mean, that's not, you know, that's not a good approach in my opinion. And it's what a lot of guys are doing, though.
But and we're talking about the me era here, is if I could strike out 200 times, but if I hit 40 homers, I'm getting paid.
Yeah, but I would say it's like, it's kind of counterintuitive, because guys that, I always tell guys, look, you either can hit homers or you can't. Like, homers come from solid contact. If you make solid contact consistently, and the ball, and you have the bat speed or the strength or you know, whatever, the ball's going to go out of the ballpark. But if you don't make solid contact consistently, you're not going to hit as many homers. So you almost want, if you're a big, strong guy, like, I encourage those guys to just, hey, cut your swing down, look for good contact, and plenty of balls are going to go out of the ballpark. That's how you hit 40 homers. You don't go up there, you know, trying to, you know, play gorilla ball. And a mm-hmm. lot of times you're an easy out. You're easy to pitch to, and the better the pitching gets, the easier it is. And I want to be a guy like that is a tough out. I want, when I come to the plate, I want the pitcher to go, we got no options here. Like, this guy's either going to walk or hit a laser beam somewhere. And I want them to feel that way. Not, hey, if I make a mistake, he might hit it 500 feet. But if I make my pitches, he's out. I mean, that's not a good player.
Right. Well, so you don't agree with Bregman, who said earlier this year, I'm not hitting for average right now, but the team needs me to hit, you know, I got to hit for more power.
No, I think that Alex has a great understanding of what he is and what he does for the team, and he's not happy about hitting 260. I think that comment is more from, you know, hey, look, I'm not hitting for average, so what else can I do to help this team win?
And
I'm, I'm driving the ball to the ballpark, so that's how I'm helping the team win. If given his preference, I mean, I know I've talked to him several times. He works like a dog mm-hmm. on his bat path and, like, trying to be a good hitter. And some years, like I've told him and I've told a lot of the young guys, every year is different. I mean, I had years where I hit 330 and I had a year when I hit 270. So it's just, you know, like, you're depending on other factors. You just want to try to be as productive as you can for your team, and that if you get on base, drive runs in, hit home runs, whatever's going right for you that year, you try to focus in on that and use that to help the team. And I think that's where Alex is coming from on that.
Let's get Michael in here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Michael.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I got a question. I've always marveled about how they can be able to discern a difference between an 85 mile per hour ball or up to 101 or 102 or whatever, and I'm just wondering of the technique. When does the batter be able to perceive where the ball will go? Does the batter even know, or is it just a guessing game? And when pitchers tip their pitches, then how does that work? Does the batter know that, oh, well, they're releasing the ball, and then everything works like 1,000 miles per hour in the batter's brain to where he can hit the ball? I've just always wondered how that works.
Yeah, that's a good question. And so basically, there are a lot of visual cues that you get as you're hitting that kind of tell you what the ball is doing. You can see the spin. Like, most of the time, you can see how the ball is spinning as it's coming out of a guy's hand. And it's a little bit hard to describe, but the way the ball comes out of a guy's hand gives you a lot of visual cues as to what the pitch is. So, as an example, a fastball generally when a guy throws a fastball, the ball's coming right straight out of their hand. When a guy's throwing a breaking ball, the ball will actually go up out of the hand a little bit before, you know, as it starts. And your brain is an amazing computer. And you said 1,000 miles an hour. That's exactly what happens. Like, there is no conscious thought when you're hitting. It's not like you see it and you go, oh, that's a fastball, let me swing at that. You just know, like, your eyes and your brain work together, and you've done it so many times, you just know, like, this is what that pitch is, and your body reacts to it. So hitting is 100% a reaction. And, you know, I hear people say all the time, well, why did the guy swing at that ball that bounced in front of home plate? You know, why would he swing at that? Because there is no conscious thought. Like, if you could consciously think, oh, that ball is going to bounce in front of home plate, you'd never swing at it. But what happens is your brain, your eyes, and your brain working together tell you, oh, that's something that it really isn't. So the art of pitching is, and the reason that some guys, like, you know, Verlander's slider is so good because it's so tight, it's hard to see the spin on it. Mariano Rivera's cutter was so good because as a hitter, you just see ball. You don't see the spin, so there's nothing that tells you that ball is going to cut in on your hand.
But I never understood Trevor Hoffman, because I asked Bags when you guys were playing him. I was like, why? You know he's throwing a changeup. Why do you guys, how can you not hit because it's not coming in that fast? Why can't you sit on the changeup because you know it's coming?
Because that's how powerful that software is in your brain, is that you've seen, like, the arm speed, Hoffman's arm speed and the way the ball came out of his hand was identical to his fastball. So you can't override that existing program. Like, your brain immediately, when it sees arm speed and when you see ball come out a certain way, your brain says fastball, and you're going. And so even when that's, and you're talking about one of the all-time great changeups in the history of baseball.
Yeah.
It's hard to override that existing mental program. So it's a combination of things. It's spin. You know, a lot of times, you know, if you guys throw a heater, you ask the difference between 85 and 95. Well, you can actually see that. Like, you can't necessarily, I don't have a radar gun in my head to say that, okay, that ball's 85 and that ball's 95. But if I stand in the batter's box and a guy's throwing 85, my brain would say he's not throwing that hard. Like, right. You know, you've got plenty of time right. to see the ball. Whereas if his guy's throwing 95, you're like, dadgum, I mean, I better be ready to, you know, I got to get a little bit more ready and cheat a little bit to get to the fastball. So there's, as a major leaguer, that's really part of what separates major league hitters from other types of hitters is your eyesight and your ability, your brain's ability to rapidly compute information.
Right.
And some guys have that program and some guys struggle with it.
Well, we didn't get a shenanigans today, but we got a dadgum. Dell, you about dadgum paid.
Yeah.
Doesn't that always pay?
Well, dadgum always pays. Yeah. Yeah, it does. 903 ESPN 97.5. You sticking around or are you going?
I got a roll.
Where are you going?
I got some stuff I got
to
do.
You don't have anything to do. You're an international man of leisure now.
Professional man of leisure.
Professional man. Yeah. You're not international.
No, I don't.
You're
go
Texas.
International.
You're all
right.
Texas.
That's exactly right.
Didn't you just go to Florida, though?
No, we went to California.
Oh, you went to California.
Yeah.
You went to L.A.? Because that's you.
We went to Yosemite.
If there's anyone that's L.A., it's you.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to be back now. And thanks for having me on.
Where were you at? Yosemite?
We were in Yosemite.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. How was that?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I highly recommend going.
Yeah. We were just in L.A. this weekend. It was actually really nice. It's really beautiful, but it's L.A.
Yeah.
Then there's that element, too. But, well, welcome back to Texas. Okay.
Appreciate that. Thanks,
all right.
John.
Thanks for coming in. We appreciate that. Yeah, Lance Berkman, and thanks for dressing up and everything. And you didn't bring any food, though.
And you didn't feed me, so we're even.
No. That's ridiculous. Did Steve McKinney bring food yesterday?
Yeah. It's still out there.
Actually.
Well,
no,
coffee.
The coffee is.
Everyone ate the food.
Everybody ate the food, yeah. The coffee's still out there. All right, well, thanks, man. We appreciate it. Thanks for hanging with us.
You got it.
That's Lance Berkman right here on ESPN 97.5.
Need a new restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler.
Hey Houston, it's Dennis from C&D Scrap Metal, and a lot has changed since C&D first opened its doors in 1979. Just as Houston has grown into one of the largest cities in the country, C&D has grown into one of the largest